You're recording.
All right, so we're on section three, the informal interviews at our 10:45. And we're going to, this is a two-pack. We still need these separately, right? Even though we got them both on the phone? One and then the other?
I think the front of the summary is still the same, so we have to start together.
So we start them together, and then we'll split up when we come to the discussion? Okay. All right, so I didn't write my script that way, so I'm going to have to add a little bit here a little bit. This is a time and place scheduled for the informal interviews of Rowena Demonte DBM in case number 2236, and William Langhofer DBM in case number 2237. The board will, this matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given in ARS 322234. Dr. Demonte, please come forward and introduce yourself and your attorney represented by counsel. We have Dr. Langhofer on the phone. Thank you. And Dr. Langhofer, can you state your name for the record, please?
Dr. Bill Langhofer.
Thank you.
And David Stoll is also appearing as legal counsel for Dr. Langhofer.
Okay. Thank you. So, doctors, you have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, and placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all the materials you submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
We have no additional materials.
Thank you. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly, and that only one person speaks at a time. We'll begin by asking the lead board member assigned this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you'll both be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Dr. Thompson, would you please give us a brief summary of the two cases?
Yes, so on August 18, 2021, Mia, a 10-month-old female Shih Tzu, was presented to Dr. Demonte for a deciduous tooth removal. The dog was anesthetized, intubated, and with a short period of time was actually in cardiac arrest. CPR was started, but the dog could not be revived. It was noted that the pop-off valve on the anesthetic machine was closed. Prior to this event, Mia had come in about 4 months previously for a spay, and at that point in time was scheduled to have those teeth extracted as well. Once the spay was completed, she was moved to a dental suite, and at that point there were concerns with anesthesia and whether or not there was a question whether or not it was the machine or whether the cut was hooked up correctly, and the procedure was halted to be resumed at another time. So we have two instances where the pet was under anesthesia and there were issues at this point.
So starting off one at a time. First, Dr. Demonte, at this time I'd like to swear you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And while we're doing that, Dr. Langhofer, do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Dr. Langhofer, did you hear the oath? Did we lose you? I'm not hearing that.
It says he's there.
You can hear that.
Oh, it sounds like someone's on hold. Hello, Dr. Langhofer?
Hello, yeah, sorry, my phone dropped.
Okay.
All right, so I was reading the oath, so I'd like to swear you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Is this for me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yes, I do.
So first we'll start with Dr. Tamonte. We'd like to now give you the opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
First and foremost, I'd like to extend my heartfelt sympathies to the owners, James and Patrick Nichols, for their loss of Mia. This was supposed to be a simple dental extraction, and none of us involved would, in this case, imagine that we would lose Mia. As I said before, during my initial review of this case, this was an unfortunate one in 10,000 event that occurred because the pop-off valve on the anesthetic equipment was closed when it should have been opened. In this regard, we were completely honest and forthright with the owners about what happened. At the time of this incident, our technicians were responsible for setting up the equipment and were trained and instructed to verify that the pop-off valve was open prior to the start of surgery. I personally done hundreds and hundreds of surgeries at the Scottsdale Veterinary Clinic. I've never had a situation where the pop-off valve was closed when it should have been open. While this was a technician oversight, I realized that I was the veterinarian in charge of the surgery and I take full responsibility for this error. Also, I want you to know that this is not a situation where I was not present supervising my staff. When Mia was pre-medicated at 12:25 and induced with propofol at 12:30, I was there the entire time, ausculting her as the propofol was being administered. I then briefly stepped back and supervised the technician as Mia was intubated. As the technicians were placing the monitoring equipment, I started to evaluate the tooth that was to be removed. And because that was when I determined that I needed a different elevator, which was not currently at hand, I walked approximately 5 feet away from Mia to another surgical stand to get the elevator. When I turned back, I saw that the anesthetic circuit was disconnected from the ET tube. I reattached it, and at that same moment realized that the reservoir bag was full and taut. I immediately reacted, yelled there was a problem with the machine, and yanked the bag off the machine. At that same time, my technician lost the audible heartbeat. We immediately initiated compressions in an effort to revive Mia, and during the course of those efforts, the pop-off valve of the anesthetic equipment was noted to be closed. This was immediately opened as compressions continued, but unfortunately, it was too late. Now, I am deeply saddened by this case, and I want you and the Nichols to know that Mia's death resulted in the practice improving itself by investing $20,000 in replacement pop-off valves. These valves are not typically used in veterinary machines and were purchased from a human anesthetic supplier. The valves are designed to release at pressure of 20 psi. This should eliminate any future issues with human error and safeguard patients from this kind of accident. Also, as a direct result of this incident, the practice repeated anesthetic safety training with all technical staff involved in anesthetic events, and the technicians involved in these incidents were both given corrective action and performance reviews. In sum, we proactively have done everything we could to learn from this mistake and eliminate the chances of this happening again.
Thank you. Now, Dr. Langhofer, I'd like to give you a chance to respond to the summary.
Before Bill begins, I don't know that he has anything. He's basically here to answer any questions he might have, but I just want to remind the board that he was not medically involved in the case at all. He's just the premise license holder. Bill, if you have anything you wish to add, please do so. If you're still on the line.
It's ringing again.
He's out of state. I apologize for...
Dr. Langhofer? Dr. Langhofer, can you hear me? Dr. Langhofer, are you there?
Yeah, sorry, my phone keeps dropping, but I think I'm good right now.
Bill, this is Dave Stoll. Dr. DeMonte read her statement. I made some comments on your behalf that you were not medically involved in the case, but a premise license holder. Do you have anything else you wish to add?
No, I think that is true.
Okay, so we'll move on. Go ahead.
I assume you read my statements about how we retrained the staff, recommended emotional support for the staff that were involved, and then, of course, looked extensively for a pop-off valve that would guarantee the situation doesn't happen again.
Yes, that's all in your response.
Okay, thank you.
All right, I'd now like to ask board members if they have any questions for Dr. DeMonte.
I have a couple of questions, Dr. DeMonte. So, in the original statements from the events that occurred, there was some confusion as to whether or not you had spoken with the clients during this process, whether you had spoken with them while CPR was being administered, and if you had actually spoken with them after Mia had passed away.
I spoke to them while CPR was being administered twice. After that, I haven't had any contact.
You didn't have the opportunity to express condolences or discuss further what happened with the case?
No.
Any other board members have questions for Dr. DeMonte? How about questions for Dr. Langhofer?
Dr. Langhofer, I appreciate the work that you did with your staff. I see the grief counseling, which is important for, obviously, the owners of the pet have feelings that they need to deal with, but our staff members do as well in times like this. So I applaud you for providing that for your staff through this, and also the staff training. A couple of questions I do have, though. When there are issues in your hospital with equipment or how things are flowing, what is the proper chain of command, or how do things get handled? My concern is that there seems to have been multiple anesthesia issues, and whether or not those issues were escalated so that they could be taken care of, so things like this wouldn't happen. He's gone again.
He dropped his phone again.
So next time he gets to where he's got four bars, he needs to stop.
Dr. Langhofer?
Yes, I'm back. Sorry.
All right. So, Dr. Langhofer, just want to ask you a couple of questions. First of all, I appreciate the efforts that you did with your staff. That have resulted because of this instance, the grief counseling, the training that you did for them as well. My questions to you have to do with what are the steps that you have put into place in your hospital for identifying issues when they arise and how they're going to get fixed. I appreciate that they've gone through more anesthesia training, but you know, as we look back in the record, this was the second time that there were issues with the anesthesia machine or problems with anesthesia. How do your staff know to move forward to try to elevate those so that they will be rectified?
Yeah, so that's part of the training is we, during training, we actually set the machines up incorrectly and have them identify problems with the machine. And so that was one of the things that we implemented after this event, and it's something that's part of our ongoing training at our quarterly technician meetings when we have staff training.
Okay. But as far as like if there were other issues in your hospital that might be of a concern, do they have a proper chain of command? Are all of your staff members knowledgeable about what steps they need to take to rectify a situation with equipment or product or something along those lines?
Yes, of course. Yeah, if there's an issue with anything related to product or anesthesia or x-ray machines, they go to one of the managers and address it with them. And the duties are divided up between the managers depending on what the condition is.
Okay. Yeah, it just was a rise of concern, given that we had an issue 4 months ago that it didn't seem to get taken care of or addressed. The other question I have is, it kind of goes around training. It sounds like you did a lot of work around the anesthesia training. I just would say, based on the records that I was looking at, there might be some other opportunities in getting the staff all on board with the same protocols and information. There was even documentation in there that not everybody is aware of the different plans that they offer, and we all definitely need to get on the same page. So I would just say overall training with the staff, and continue training, because I do know that we do have attrition in our staff members, and making sure that it's not a one-time deal, that it's something that we do continuously.
And what are you referring to as far as the plans are concerned?
There was a note in Mia's chart way back when she was first coming in for vaccines. It was asking about being on a wellness plan, and the owners were confused because they wanted to get on the plan, but then there was a note that only one person could do the plan, and when they called back to talk to another person, they're like, oh no, that's not the case. You know, that's really not how it happens. I know it's confusing because we give different information to people. So
no, but I think you're reading into that note a little too much. What that's referring to is our wellness plans. We have one person that coordinates the automatic withdrawals from their accounts in the wellness plan. And if an owner is changing their plan or changing their mind on which plan, that person does the calculations on what the fees are. As far as operating and explaining the plans, all the staff are trained in it. And at that time, we were transitioning from one computer system to another. And unfortunately, the new computer system, even though they promised us the plans would transfer, they didn't. And so we had to go and coordinate to have the plans calculated on the old system and the new one at the same time. And so because of that complicating factor, we had assigned it to only a few people, just so that, you know, it was clear on how those calculations were made.
Thank you.
Any other board members have questions for Dr. Langhofer? Okay, seeing none, you may step back, and we will now hear from the complainant. Can you please come forward and introduce yourselves?
I'm James Nichols.
I'm Patricia Nichols.
Thank you. And I'd like to swear you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you. And you are the complainants in this case, correct?
Yes.
We've read the materials you've provided, and you may address the board.
Okay. I want to thank the board for allowing us this opportunity. Okay, on April 18th, as the session ended, the board agreed that there were discrepancies in the timeline. Therefore, going to an informal interview, which is why we're here today. It is important that the board get accurate information today concerning this timeline. Under Dr. DeMonte's supervision, 3 people failed to check the pop-up valve, which is a basic and critical step every procedure in surgery, especially involving anesthesia. We made it clear from the very beginning that we did not want Mia on a ventilation machine for her procedure on August 18th. We also requested that Dr. DeMonte read the notes by Dr. Gans about the machine failure when Mia was spayed. And I have a copy of that if anyone cares to hear it or see it, of what Dr. Gans had to say about it. That's in her notes. If Dr. DeMonte had taken our concerns seriously, why didn't she call us to have a discussion about it? To put our mind at ease by assuring us she would make sure the machine is functioning properly for Mia's safety. Regarding this critical concern of ours, why didn't Dr. DeMonte take the extra steps herself or direct the techs to double check the machine for safe use, especially making sure the pop-up valve was open? There were opportunities to do this. One was before Mia was intubated, another was during Mia's intubation, but this was never done and is a violation of the standard of care for Mia's safety and represents gross negligence and incompetence on the part of Dr. DeMonte. According to Dr. Demonte's statement, she was present at 12:30 p.m. when Mia was put under anesthesia and intubated by the technician. If so, why didn't she check the pop-up valve at this time? In an necropsy report, it states that at 12:32 p.m., Mia's heart stopped and Dr. Demonte was alerted. Why did she have to be alerted if she was already present in the room? Dr. Demonte said she started resuscitation immediately, but never said what time she started CPR. An necropsy report says that CPR was initiated at 12:35. So what happened during this 3-minute interval between 12:32 p.m. when Mia's heart stopped and 12:35 p.m. when resuscitation began? Where was Dr. Demonte during that time? One thing is clear. Since the pop-up valve was closed between 12:30 p.m. and 12:35 p.m., Mia suffocated to death while under the care and supervision of Dr. Demonte. Dr. Demonte said in her statement she stepped 5 feet away to retrieve an instrument. Upon returning, noticed the anesthetic circuit was disconnected from the ED tube. According to her, quote from her is, I reattached it and noticed the reservoir bag was inflated to full and top. She then asked the technician if there was a problem with the anesthetic machine. At the same time, the technician lost the heartbeat and they started CPR. According to Dr. Demonte's statement, it wasn't until CPR was started that it was noticed that the pop-up valve was closed. It is inexcusable that two technicians and a supervising vet did not have a basic procedure in place to check something as simple and critical as the pop-up valve. This is obviously gross negligence, gross incompetence, and malpractice. In Dr. Demonte's statement, she said she did nothing medically wrong. A veterinarian with over 20 years' experience and has completed thousands of surgeries should be well trained and knowledgeable in the operation of respiration machines and make certain all safety precautions are in place, which includes making sure the pop-up valve is open. This is a lethal mistake on the part of Dr. Demonte. In the two phone calls from Dr. Demonte, she told us that Mia's heart and breathing had stopped and she was not responding to CPR. Her only request was our permission to stop CPR. Never in either call did she offer an explanation of what happened to our Mia. When we returned to the clinic shortly after 1:30 p.m., we asked to speak with Dr. Demonte. The office manager, Hillary Finder, told us she was not available because she was busy with another surgery and had a full surgery scheduled the rest of the afternoon. Dr. Demonte, however, said in her statement on April 20th, that she was emotionally and mentally devastated and was consoling her team. Since Dr. Demonte was not available, Hillary Ponder told us that Dr. Demonte would be giving us a call, but she never made that call. When the board makes its final decision on this case, please keep in mind that the standard of care for Mia was violated due to gross incompetence, gross negligence, and malpractice. What occurred on August 18th, 2021 is horrible and leaves a dark blemish on the honorable profession of veterinary medicine. A letter of concern only amounts to a slap on the wrist for this kind of malpractice. Revoking the license of Dr. Demonte will demonstrate that this kind of gross negligence and incompetence will not be tolerated. I'd just like to add something that what Dr. Langford has done with his clinics since Mia's demise is good. It is all good. But it has no bearing on what happened the day that she died, that she suffocated to death. It has no bearing on that, because that wasn't in place then. That's what we're concerned with now. What he did, what he's done since then is great. It should have been done before. Our puppy paid with her life for that to happen. we paid with the emotion and the stress and the trauma that we have been going under since that happened. We paid for that, and anyone else that was traumatized by Mia is paid for that. There is a website that addresses this very thing with pop-off valves. It's called Veterinary Anesthesia and Analgesia Support. Avoiding pop-off valve-related fatalities. There are two inescapable truths. Number one, there's no substitute for a careful check of the anesthetic machine before use. I should say that it says no substitute.
Hold just a minute, we just lost the phone again, I'm sorry.
Dr. Langhoffer, are you there? Are you there, Dr. Langhoffer?
Yes, I am, thank you.
All right, so the complainant is still speaking. Please proceed.
Okay. I don't know if you heard number one. There is no substitute for a careful check of the anesthetic machine before use. Number two, there is absolutely no substitute for a dedicated anesthetic monitoring individual that remains at the patient's side and who has broad monitoring equipment.
With all due respect to the board, only one person asked a question of Dr. DeMonte. You failed to ask pertinent questions regarding Dr. Monte's conduct in providing the standard of care for Mia. You asked, did she read the notes about the problems with the breathing machine during Mia's phase surgery? No one asked if she had taken our concerns seriously about anesthesia. Why didn't she speak with us before surgery? Why didn't she check the pop-off valve before the procedure? She blamed the technicians. There was no procedure in place to check the breathing machine before surgery. Why? When Dr. DeMonte made adjustments to the ventilation machine, according to her statement, she did not check the pop-off valve until CPR was started. By then, Mia was not breathing. Why? Was Dr. DeMonte present from 12:30 to 12:35? The necropsy report says that at 12:32, Mia's heart stopped and Dr. DeMonte was alerted. Why did she have to be alerted? According to her statement, she was right there in the room. I hope that some of these questions will be answered so that a better understanding of what happened and the incompetence that happened that day.
Thank you. Do any board members have questions for the complainant?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Nichols, what was the source of that, of the article that you read from? You said it was from a website, but whose? And who authored it?
The website is called Veterinary Anesthesia and Analgesia Support. That's what the name of it was that I got. And it's all about anesthetic, or breathing machines for vets.
Thank you.
Do any other board members have questions for the complainants? All right, seeing none, can we step back? Dr. DeMonte, do you or your legal counsel have any additional remarks or questions you'd like to ask?
Yes, we do. I know Dr. DeMonte wants to respond to and clarify the fact that she was present the entire time. And when the record says that she was alerted that the heart had stopped, it was the technician that was monitoring that informed her. But please discuss about your review of the record beforehand.
Yeah, I did review the record. I did review what had happened at the time. I deemed it that it was safe to put her on the gas. I did review all that. The alert came from the same time we were all talking, you know, when I'm yanking the bag, the technician's telling me I lost the audible heartbeat. That was the alert.
And so the time estimates?
The time, these times are all estimated because we were not looking at the clock. That was not the thing. We said that, and I immediately take the stethoscope, start listening for the heartbeat, can't hear, and we start CPR. We are not looking at the clock at all.
Also,
so it's always an estimation as to the time, you know, how many minutes here and how many minutes there.
You were present the entire time, correct?
I never left that room. I never left Mia's side from the time she went down. From the time she got the sedation, she was right in front of me.
I just have a few more comments. I know this isn't the first time that the board has faced this exact situation where an anesthetic pop-off valve was inadvertently left in the off position. What's different about this case is the extent to which the practice has responded to the incident. In this case, Scottsdale Veterinary Clinic has taken unprecedented steps to make sure that this doesn't happen again. I can't extend my sympathies to the owners for the loss. This is not something that should not have happened. But they've spent over $20,000 buying state-of-the-art human anesthetic anesthesia equipment that does not have pop-off valves that can be left in the off position. This should not be overlooked by you in your discussions and deliberations. And in light of that, I question what, if any, disciplinary action needs to be taken on the complaint against Dr. DeMonte. Medically, Dr. DeMonte did everything appropriate, and nothing fell below the standard of care. All anesthetic medications were appropriate. They were given in the appropriate dosages. And we wouldn't be here today if the unlicensed veterinary technician had done her job and verified that the pop-off valve was open. The common law definition of malpractice is what a reasonable and prudent veterinarian would do under the same or similar circumstances. And I venture to say that few veterinarians would independently verify the pop-off valve position before every surgery. This was simply a case of human error on the part of the technician, but Dr. DeMonte and the practice had assumed responsibility for the mistake and proactively took all these corrective actions that you've heard about. We therefore respectfully disagree with the committee's suggestion that Dr. DeMonte was grossly negligent and submit that this is a case where it would be appropriate for you to issue a letter of concern against Dr. DeMonte, and the complaint against Dr. Langhoffer should be dismissed with no violation, as he had no involvement in the case medically whatsoever. Thank you.
Dr. Langhoffer, you all also get the opportunity to add additional remarks or ask questions.
Yeah, I think the only thing that's important to bring up is that, you know, after this incident occurred, we pretty exhaustively searched for these pop-off valves because we're like, why doesn't this exist somewhere, like somewhere this has to be available? We called our typical representatives at MWI in Patterson. They didn't have anything like this. We did eventually find it, but it even took months to get them because we exhausted the entire supply in the Southwest of getting these pop-off valves in. And replacing them. And then, of course, our staff are trained on a regular basis, but this was an opportunity to remind us that we need to be even more aggressive with our, you know, anesthetic training and presenting potential issues that may arise during anesthesia to make sure all of our nurses who run anesthesia are very comfortable what to do in an emergency situation like this. All of our staff is CPR trained. We have them all trained in CPR, and so just to make sure that if ever there is an incident like this that arrives, they can immediately help, you know, in an event like this.
Are there any more questions from the board members?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I have a couple regarding timing. You mentioned that the 3-minute gap that's in the record was based on estimates.
Total estimates, yeah.
why didn't you correct the record if that was the case?
Because we didn't know the exact time. We have no exact timing over there.
So it could have been correct.
I guess instead of time, we should have said immediately afterwards. That would have been better.
What is your estimate of how much time lapsed between the dog's heart stopping and when you began CPR?
Maybe a minute, because I took the stethoscope, listened to the dog, because I have to confirm that the heartbeat was not there. And immediately it's a CPR, and you know, immediately we started the chest pumps. Thank you.
I have one additional question for you, Dr. DeMonte. So the technicians that were working with you that day, how comfortable were you, are you with those technicians?
I worked with them multiple times before. All the surgery technicians I worked with, you know, even when they rotate through, I worked with multiple times before.
And
I have no problem telling somebody if I'm not comfortable with that.
And you felt that they were, at that point in time, well-trained and well-versed?
Yes, yes.
Any other board members have questions? All right, seeing none, you can step back, and this concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in these two cases. And Dr. Thompson, you are the lead.
So this is a heartbreaking case for sure. The difficulties for both the family of the pet and also the staff that were involved, because it's never easy when this happens under your care. Given all the information that we had both in the statements that were given to us, the statements that were presented in the last board meeting and again today, I move to agree with the investigative committee and find gross negligence, failure to ensure the anesthetic equipment was functioning properly, the staff was supervised, which ultimately led to the death of the dog, and also the 3222-32-12 as it relates to AACR3-11-5011, failure to show respect to the animal owner for not speaking with the owners after the dog's passing or any subsequent communication.
Second.
We have a motion on the floor and a second. Any discussion?
I think this, you know, we've had other cases like this, and I think they're very unfortunate because nobody, I mean, it's a mistake. It's not something that somebody didn't know to do. It's not something that they aren't trained to do. It's just flat out a mistake. And there's nothing, human error is gonna occur, and it's horrible when it happens. And everybody goes through the turmoil of dealing with that. I think, you know, the owners may have been concerned that we didn't ask more questions. I think the reason for not asking more questions is it was a mistake. We know that.
Right.
We know what happened. I don't need to ask if she thought she should check the pop-off valve, because she knows she should have checked it. Like, there are things that, like, you can't go back and say that this was a mistake on her part, like a failure to follow the process, because she knows that. It should put you in a really hard position, and I do feel for these owners, and I know the veterinarian does as well. Like, it happened, it's horrible, and unfortunately, she has to be held accountable for it, because this is how we send the message that these things can't happen, and that's the right thing to do, but there was never intent or lack of knowledge that she didn't know she should do that. I don't believe that at all.
Any other discussion? I appreciate you addressing the concerns and the complaints about the line of questioning. I'm the same way. I mean, we obviously got to see more materials than they got to see. So, and we've heard other cases, right? And so we've heard not necessarily related or similar, but have some experience looking through the records, looking through the narratives, listening to witness statements. So I appreciate you addressing that part of it. Any other discussion on the motion before us? And this would be in the case of, since we've been talking about two of these, this is in the case of 2236.
Correct.
This motion. Any other discussion? Seeing none, let's do a roll call.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krager?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Lohi?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Motion passes.
So the board has voted to find two violations. At next month's meeting, the board will consider adopting proposed findings of facts and conclusions of law, and after doing so, will then discuss and adopt disciplinary action. If you have any questions, please call the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore, at the board's office. And this concludes the informal interview for 2236. You still have 2237. Under discussion.
And for case 2237, in regards to the premise holder, again, definitely applaud all of the actions that he's taken to try to ensure that this type of situation doesn't happen again. I would say that we could dismiss with, and motion to dismiss with no violation, but maybe a letter of concern just to continue with the training aspect of the team, making sure that that continues moving forward so that it does not happen again.
Second.
The motion of four is second to dismiss, but issue a letter of concern on the training. Is there any discussion?
I think typically I wouldn't have done the letter of concern because when we see that they've already taken such extensive action, we kind of take that into account. But what I would say is, because this isn't the first time it's happened at this clinic, because I do go back to if there was something wrong with the anesthetic machine, if you thought maybe something wasn't right the last time, what was done about it then, and how do you make that a living thing so that this isn't something that's repetitive? Maybe that's where I would say I would agree with a letter of concern. Just making sure this is every day. This is something that doesn't, you do a training and you forget about it. It's becomes part of your routine.
Yeah, and that's where I'm coming from, because working in the veterinary profession, we all have a lot of turnover. And so that training that happened last month or whenever that occurred, is that continuously going on with every staff member? And unless that is continuously happening, we're gonna run into a similar issue going forward, so.
So, and maybe it was intended, just not stated out loud, but Dr. Langhoffer's perspective and Dr. DeMonte and the council, and I get the sense that this training is directed toward the veterinary technicians, but should be the whole staff, the veterinarians as well, because they are, in some cases, maybe not in every single thing they do, but in a lot of cases, working as a team and each playing their different roles on the team. So it can't be just the low man on the totem pole that's getting all the training when the whole team has to function well together. So, I would just throw that in there, that part of that training and communication and improvement and trying to account for that turnover and transition that's constantly happening. Because if it's happening with the technicians, it's probably happening with some veterinarians too. And whatever support staff, receptionist, whatever, depending on the size of the clinic. So I just incorporate that across the team and the organization, not just a layer of the organization. Are you motion on the floor, a second to dismiss and issue a letter of concern? Any other discussion? Seeing none, let's do a roll call.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krager?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Lohi?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay. So the board has voted to dismiss case 2237, but also issue a letter of concern. So that will not happen. So this concludes the matter, and Dr. Langhofer, you'll receive a written confirmation of the board's action shortly. This concludes both of these informal interviews. Thank you for your participation today. Thank you for coming. We'll move on to the next item. And we lost him again.